Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. Folks, how you doing? I gotta be honest, this is the third time I've tried to do this opening. First one, I kind of stumbled a little bit right out of the gates and erased it, and then the second attempt, I got halfway through it and then just had a massive, like, outbreak of the giggles. I couldn't stop laughing. I kind of made a comment that, for some odd reason, entertained me to the point where I could not even finish the intro. So this is the third time that I'm doing this intro, and hey, as they say, third time's a charm. Alright, well, many of you are probably like, whoa, wait. John, two new episodes in less than a week? Well, hey, I've been a busy man. I'm trying to catch up, you know, as I mentioned on the last episode, where I sat down and spoke with Marion Fontaine, there's been a lot of issues with this podcast, with my website, so I'm trying to catch up here, and I figured that number 58 would be a good way to end the year, because, I mean, it's now December 21st on the calendar, and Christmas is right around the corner. I'm going to be going back to Rhode Island to visit Mom and Stepdad for a while, and got a few other people to visit here in Columbus, some folks to visit out in Eastern Ohio as well. So, this will probably be the last installment of this very podcast for the year 2014. But don't worry, I got plenty of things already lined up for 2015, and some big, big things that I hope pan out for the PVD cast to just make it that much more entertaining, more interesting, more available, etc., etc. But let's talk about the guest that's going to appear here on this very podcast, on this episode of the PVD cast. He's a gentleman by the name of Brian Lau, and as you'll hear on this conversation that we're going to have, you're going to find out that I met him in a very unusual manner. So Brian is a creator of a comic book called Staunch Ambition. For those that don't know or are not a very good speller, it is S-T-A-U-N-C-H. A-M-B-I-T-I-O-N, Staunch Ambition. And indeed, it is a very interesting graphic novel that this gentleman is putting together. And he's in Detroit, Michigan. And since I'm using some new technology to reach out and talk to some folks, I quickly hit him up on email after our first initial meeting and said, hey man, you want to come on? Can we do this over Skype? Can we talk about it? Because again, it's an independent graphic novel, and you know that I've said many times on this podcast, independent. That word means a lot to me. This podcast is an independent production. I support independent movies, independent music, independent comic books, independent wrestling. Just, I think that that's where the best ideas come from. And when they're cultivated, and when they're given a lot of passion, they're given a lot of effort, and given a lot of hard work, and given a lot of endeavor, good things come out. And so I'm happy to try to help this gentleman out, Brian Lau. He's a good dude. He's overall a really good dude. From our very first meeting, I just got this vibe that he was just one heck of an awesome dude, and that if he lived nearby, I'd probably hang out with him. So, but nonetheless, we're going to throw it into a quick break. And much like we did with the last episode, when I come out of that break, you're going to hear the conversation I had with Mr. Brian Lau talking about his graphic novel called Staunch Ambition. John Orlando, the host of the PVD cast. I want to take a few moments to tell you about Stitcher Radio. If you don't know, Stitcher Radio is where you can hear the PVD cast and thousands of other podcasts that are on the network. Stitcher Radio is the greatest app that you could have on your Android or on your iPhone or on your tablet. If you don't have it, go to your app store and download it, or go to Stitcher.com where they'll tell you how to get Stitcher Radio. It is the greatest. It is the best. It's one app. That's all you need, folks. It will let you know when a new episode's up because it continuously updates. So if you want to know when is the next episode of the BBD Cast up, boom, it'll tell you. Trust me, I know. I have friends that have used the app on their particular Android or iPhone, and they love it. They love it. You can get customized recommendations for anything you're interested in, whether it's wrestling, news, entertainment, whatever. Definitely check out Stitcher.com or go to the App Store and pick up Stitcher Radio so you can stay in the know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this installment of the PVD Cast. I'm sitting here at my computer with a gentleman by the name of Brian Lau, and Brian is a comic book creator. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's probably an enthusiast, too, of comic books. He's got a project coming out real soon that he wanted to come on and talk about. So, Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing super.
Excellent, excellent. So, let's talk a little bit. You have a project coming out. It's a graphic novel, correct?
Yeah, I'm calling it a graphic novel, yep.
It's called Staunch Ambition.
Right.
Which is a little bit of a science fiction-y, if that's such an adjective, but it's a little bit of science fiction, if you will, set in the future. And you want to maybe give a little summary of what it's about?
It's a science fiction. It's a supernatural element to it as well, which is a big part of it. So often I've been calling it a supernatural fiction, but
hey, that works.
Yeah, I coined it as far as I never heard it before, but then I found
take credit for it, man. Just go ahead.
Yeah,
take credit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But then I found other people. Every time I come up with something great, I find someone else already came up with it. But anyways, you just gotta, put your own twist on things. So the twist on this story is, I've been kicking around doing this story for years, so this story has actually, I'm glad I never actually was able to do it when I was younger, because it's matured so much. But the story in general, I have a prologue that you can read online, but it's, the prologue to the history of this universe is the sun has a massive flare, and the EMCs come and hit the Earth right at the right angle, and just puts disables as like you can see, everything's becoming more reliant on technology in our world. So it just disables all of technology. Even like this would have happened in their past, but in our future. So the story doesn't take place there. That's their past, but it's after they start to recover the Earth, and they build a space station, and there's a united effort to not have this happen. And as technology advances and they recover from social chaos and whatnot, they build a space station, and as technology advances, the space station continues to become more relevant and gets closer to the sun. And so the premise, the idea of the story is that it starts out on this space station, and it's dealing with issues. We have genetic clones that are created. I have the main character's name is Azarus, and he is he's going to be these clones are created without a self-conscious. They're supposed to be created like that on purpose, without sexual organs or without like a real self-consciousness. And so Azarus starts to come into, starts to gain a self-consciousness about himself. And, some of these clones start to act funny. There's another Nim is another clone on a space station, and they're kind of like slaves or almost like genetic robots.
Okay. All right.
And then a few of the main characters would be Azarus, this genetic clone who starts to come into a self-consciousness, which we get. But the one of the interesting twists I wanted to try to go with this story was instead of just dealing with like computers becoming human or having, consciousness, he's a genetic clone mixed with animal DNA. So I was kind of going to explore this idea of the distinctions between human and animal. So, is he human? Is he animal? And a little bit mix of, is he just a, robot or whatnot? So.
And from my research here and reading your prologue there, you have another particular character, and I'm not sure if I can pronounce the name correctly. Is it Riley? Is that the other character's?
It's Riel.
Riel.
It's a variation of Gabrielle or
Gabriel. Okay. But she is supposedly looking for the truth on this particular space station. So can you dive in a little bit on that, too? Is there a little mystery as to what's really going on this space station?
Well, she gets caught up in it, you know.
Okay.
She's working, and she, you know, the crap hits the fan. And she's going to get caught up into this, what is really behind, you know, Staunch Industries, you know, into their success and... How is it that that they haven't become so successful? So there's a whole door that's going to get opened. That doesn't happen in the first issue, but we start to build that up. But this whole door is going to open up, and she's going to be kind of forced into grappling with some of the realities behind this the success of Staunch Industries. It's the comics Staunch Ambition and company inside. Excuse you. The company inside the story is called Staunch Industries, and they're the ones who had, you know, backed this space station, and so she gets kind of thrusted into this behind the scenes and what's really going on, as does Azarus and this other character Nim.
Well, as you heard on my end there was a character here in my room as well, the family dog that wanted to bark for some odd reason. So hey.
I think the dog is digging the story. Because it's like, it's about humans and animals? It's a, whoa!
That's what all the barking was. He's like, I'm signing up for that. Come on, John. I want to do that. Anyways.
Yeah. Nim is nicknamed Nimrod because he's quite an eccentric genius that's kind of a loose cannon, but clone. And he's part horse, kind of DNA with human. And so, yeah. What's your dog's name?
The dog's name is Archie.
Archie, yeah, cool. Well, I think he's really resonating with that.
I think so.
I'm doing something right.
You are. You've tapped into the subconscious of the canines.
I think I'm going to set up a store for, you know, dogs and animals to order this book. I'll be cooking there, man.
You know, the funny thing is my girlfriend always says, why do you talk to him like he understands? Like, I have this terrible habit. If I talk to him like a child, you know?
My mom does it, and she'll talk like, oh, he had a response, and, you know, it's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy. I don't know why I do it. It's not like the dog understands me, but I just find myself doing it. I don't know. Anyways.
I can relate.
Let's go back to the comic here, and let's talk a little bit about some of the influences that you may have had. You know, I think it's safe to say you're a comic book enthusiast, obviously.
Yes, I think I just lean that way. I've been an artist my life. I was always drawn to illustration and art, but I've never been the concept artist who can do layouts, like comic book layouts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a Norman Rockwell or a colorist or stuff, but I don't do the layouts, so I had to find an artist to collaborate with. So I started out, yeah, my brother is a big geek before geeks were cool. And he was a big influence on me. And we used to play a game called Champions, which is like a role-playing game like Dungeons and Dragons, but it was with superheroes and villains, and you would create your own characters. And literally this concept, although it's considerably different, started from one of the characters he had created, and you just kind of do a little mock-up of it. And it's nothing like a superhero book, though. It's just sci-fi, more of like a, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sci-fi kind of story. The thing, though, since I started this book, I haven't had time to watch or read, or I can't afford to buy books. So it's like I feel like, you know, such a sacrifice, you know, because I can't really keep up on anything. I mean, it's a lot of work, so.
Understandable, and you know what, I mean, I'm looking right now at my little office here. I have crates, one, two, three crates full of comics. But just time, you know, I don't have the time. That's my New Year's resolution, is to make time to start reading as well. I have so many things here to read, and, you know, I guess maybe this is something that we could segue into, talking about the comic book industry, because I think, you know, over the last, like, year, Brian, I haven't bought a single issue. I've been buying a lot of trades because...
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Amazon, it's just as cheap, if not cheaper, to just buy the trade when it comes out rather than the 8 issues or the 12 issues or whatever, you know, to a story.
Right. Yeah. The issues for me and the collector's part of the comic buying has always been intriguing. You know, it's nice to own that special comic. You know,
if I had
Walking Dead number one or something.
Right.
So the only time I ever buy something and is like if I thought, it just would be nice to own this. But yeah, as far as trades are perfect because, you know, then you don't have to wait and then you get the story in a, you know, a bigger, broader sense. But
growing up, who were some of your favorite superheroes or comic books?
What's that? Comic what?
Or just, you know, not necessarily a superhero comic, but just comic book in general.
Because comics is way beyond that. So it's, my favorite by far is Spider-Man. I just love Spider-Man. I love the, what, because he's a superhero, but yet his little angle was, that he was more human as opposed to like a Superman, because he had to pay rent and he had girl trouble or whatever. You know, he had human issues. And so I love that sarcastic, you know, humor that Spider-Man's usually written with. So I love that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's pretty cool. Yeah. I will confess, as much as I have a lot of respect for Spider-Man, was never a big Spider-Man fan. I had nothing against him. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I was sucked into comics from toys because I'm a big G.I. Joe fan.
Oh, right. I used to read the G.I. Joe. In fact, remember the G.I. Joes when we were growing up? And then some of those stories they started to do the cartoons with, and that was my first experience. It was like, I read this, you know,
mm-hmm.
I read this in the book, and now, you know, it's like everywhere, movies, whatnot.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's where I got pulled into it. And I just gravitated towards G.I. Joe, and that was my thing. I was collecting all of them, you know, just because the stories were interesting to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I as a young guy, I mean, you know, they're dealing with like political and different kinds of issues that, you know, I didn't even thought of yet. And so for me, it was like really intriguing to read G.I. Joe. So, but you're into wrestling too, which is kind of has a like a almost like a superhero.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Flair. Without a doubt, I say that and have said that for years. Like, I think that is why I just fell in love with pro wrestling as a kid, and then, you know, as I've been admitted many times before, I wanted to be a pro wrestler, but, you know, my body type is just not going to allow you to be successful at that, since, you know,
yeah.
I'm a lanky, skinny guy. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of comic book. Yeah, and there's a lot of pro wrestling guys that are into comics and love comics and say the exact same thing. It's a live-action comic book, and you could reach out and touch that superhero where you can't really touch Superman, you know? I mean, unless you're talking about Christopher Reeve, but, you know, I mean, you couldn't really reach out and touch them. So, most definitely there's a,
so you like G.I. Joe. What else is there any other one in second place? Or?
Yeah. You know, when, as a kid, G.I. Joe was definitely it. And then, I had a cousin that was an avid collector. And so I started branching off into other things. Of course, I started looking at Transformers because they were also a toy, and then I started looking into, which is incredibly lame, and everybody loves to poke fun, but I loved Shogun Warriors as a kid.
Oh, really? I never got into, like you and I have, we're on different sides here.
Because
I didn't get into Transformers, and I never got into wrestling, but I got into, Spider-Man, Daredevil, I think X-Men and the Hulk. Did you read Secret Wars? Did you ever?
I read it as a kid. Yes, haven't. I haven't revisited it recently, and I keep saying I want to because I think I think it's one of the storylines you should read. Everybody should read. But I just haven't. I don't own a copy. In fact, I borrowed it from. I want to say my cousin. I think. Yeah, I think I borrowed it from him and read.
Well, Marvel's revisiting that. What they're going to do something, some big Marvel event. You know. Which who knows how good that will be. But the thing is with Secret Wars, the reason I bring that up is that my brother was into comics and I picked up a few. I remember an awesome Daredevil comic that I just read over and over. But there was this particular Secret Wars issue that drew me in, and it was the cover. And I don't know if you've ever seen this cover, but this cover is so nostalgic. It's Secret Wars number 3, I think. And the cover, you know, Secret Wars, and 90% of the cover is just rock. And there's this little sliver where it's the Hulk's holding up, like, he's in the middle, like, above some rock, and then just a ton of rock above it, and it says something on there, like, underneath, you know, 100 million tons of mountain is... or Rock is the Hulk, and he's not happy. And all the other superheroes are laying around, like, unconscious or bruised. And he's holding up this, like, mountain of rock, you know, from it falling down and crushing them. And I remember looking at that over and over. And I finally had to pick it up and go, I gotta know what's going on in here. So that was a significant moment for me growing up as, you know, getting into comics, being intrigued by him.
And then I think for me, like, as I got older, I gravitated toward the Punisher. Ooh. Because I just found him fascinating in this idea of revenge and how, you know, his family's absolutely massacred and he goes out on this revenge. And I always found him to be a fascinating character. And then from there, you know, by that time I'm in high school and I remember a friend of mine says, you got to read this book called Watchmen. Oh. I was like, okay, cool. And literally, I joke, but that changed my whole life in the world of comics. I went from G.I. Joe and Transformers and Shogun Warriors and Spider-Ham. I loved Spider-Ham. I loved Spider-Ham. And then merging into a little bit of a more adult, Watchmen. The Punisher, and then Watchmen. And I literally...
Spider-Ham to Watchmen.
Yeah. I'm sure right Watchmen, there.
Yeah, I did not read that until long after it had been regarded as a great novel. So,
I'll admit to my age, it was like 92 that I read it.
Okay.
And when I was in high school, I read it in study hall over a couple of days in study hall, and I was just blown away by it. I told my friend, I was like, this is amazing, you know. Yeah. And, and then it was just off to that. And then by that time, you know, I was just a geek, man, collecting just about anything, you know, that interests me, you know. And now I think I'm more towards, I follow writers and creative teams.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know? Artists and the creators. I tell you what, though, you mentioned the Punisher, and I tell you what, over and over, you know, I think Spider-Man has always been a good pair, or it's a good pairing with Spider-Man has been either the Punisher or Wolverine.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, they're quite different. And so... Yeah. I've enjoyed many a comic with some Punisher or with Wolverine and Spider-Man. So I think it makes a good match. And it always depends on who the writer is, as you just said.
Sure. Yeah, most definitely. Well, speaking of that, who are some of the writers or the artists that inspired you, you know, to sit down and do this book? Who are some of those individuals?
Many of the writers, I tell you, Let's go with artists first, I guess. Well, yeah, artists first. There's a couple artists that I didn't appreciate as much until later and then realized how brilliant they were because they're so different. And Bill Sienkiewicz, when I was growing up, now, you know, my understanding of Bill Sienkiewicz, who was known for doing New Mutants, Elektra, worked with Frank Miller on Daredevil and graphic novels and different things. You're familiar with Bill Sienkiewicz, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was the man who introduced fine arts, if not totally the comics, at least the mainstream comics. Bill Sienkiewicz was the, if you go to my website, I got him to do a version of my character and I colored it. You know, I was like, should I even try to? But I colored the electronic version. I digitally colored it, so I didn't alter his drawing. But Bill Sienkiewicz is probably one of my, if not my favorite of artists. I just love how different he is. Who is it? What's his name? His father and him both worked on
Romita?
Yeah, John Romita Jr. Romita Jr. Is it Romita?
I think it's Romita, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. John Romita Jr., man, my brother was like, oh, I love this stuff. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this looks freaking weird, you know. People look weird. They don't look right. And, you know, it's like, and then I start to realize that's the point. I mean, this guy is coming up with something unique and different. And then I like different colorists, like the one of the best comic stories I've read recently. I don't know if you've read it, but I haven't read a lot of them lately. But Astonishing X-Men from issue 1 to 25 was written by Josh Whedon, who, you know, directed the event.
Yeah, right.
Josh Whedon is huge. But he wrote issues 1 to 25, and it's brilliant. And it's drawn by John Cassaday and I think colored by, I forget the colorist, Copel or something. And I'm loving that. So those are a couple. Brian Michael Bendis, I actually read his Ultimate Spider-Man for quite a while, and I was just loving that because he actually did the origin story with a modern telling and did it very well. So there's a lot. I mean, I can just say those, but there's so many people that I love. And, you know, and I love Freddie Williams, who's going to be doing my cover, a cover and a poster for me. And I love Koi Pham, you know. But
well, those are two gentlemen that are going to be working on your book, correct?
They're going to be doing, a cover, and I'm probably going to make them into a poster. So.
Gotcha. What about a couple other of the individuals that have been helping you out? I know Tyler Fall has been a man that's been mentioned on your website doing some artwork, as well as Derek Stevens. So what role do they have in this book, Staunch Ambition?
Well, one of the most nerve-wracking, stressful things that I had to do with this book was to find and collaborate with the right artist. I also collaborated with a John McNichol, who I'm not a writer. You know, I have an idea, I have stories, but I'm not a writer at trade. You know, I can write and whatnot, but I wanted to collaborate. You know, building a sci-fi universe is quite an endeavor. You know, something that's plausible. So I looked and found John McNichol, who is a published author who wrote some stuff on G.K. Chesterton, like fictional stories that have like a sci-fi feel. Called the Young Chesterton Chronicles. And then we did the story, but then trying to find the right artist, and I actually was putting stuff online, and I was pinning up little things at colleges, and hey, I'm wanting to collaborate with someone. And I tried this even before I had money to pay somebody, and that never worked, which like I said earlier, I'm glad it didn't, because this story has matured so much more. But even when I was going to pay, it was so much stressful. I'd get submissions. I put something on Webbing, whatever the website is, and I'd get submissions from, you know, all over the world, you know, Chile and Iraq and, you know, or, you know, whatever, anywhere in the world. And so eventually I tried to work with a few people, and it just wasn't working out. And, So Derek Stevens was a guy that we were kind of working together on it, and he's really good artist, but I wanted to get somebody a little less comic booky and maybe a little bit more like a fine artist, right? So I finally found Tyler through some kind of a group on Facebook, and he just so happens to live like a walking distance away from my mom, who, you know, sometimes I come and I visit and, you know, help out here. So it's Tyler Thal is doing full color paintings. That's one of the things where I was like, this is not a comic book, this is a graphic novel, because, you know, he's doing full color paintings, and so each page is a fully painted issue. It's not being inked, penciled, and all that.
Oh wow, that's work intensive there.
But it's digital, so I mean, but the point is I don't think that makes a difference. I mean,
okay.
Like, yeah, it's different, but the fact is a good art. So, but Tyler Thal is amazing, and my biggest concern was to get somebody that would be just engaged in, you know, it's not just a job, but it's like a passion, right? So it was like I have some horror stories or some stories of trying to get the right artist, but Tyler has been great to work with, because him and I have been just going back and forth, and as we challenge each other, it's like, you know, it just is like, okay, this isn't working, that isn't working, and then all of a sudden everything starts to fall in line as far as I can tell. So
yeah, well, I think with any, I would imagine, and you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, I imagine, you know, it's no different than any other type of working relationship that you have. You gotta have somebody that can work with you and bounce ideas off of and whatnot.
So. Yeah, yeah, it's a. But I mean, this is such an intimate. You know, it's like we're having a baby together. I mean we're literally, like, it's so intimate, and obviously not in a relational way, but in creating something that we're trying to do that's going to be relevant, not just. I don't just want to do a comic book. I mean, I don't know, you go to conventions, right? So it's like,
yeah, sure.
I've been listening to your podcast, which I like, and
well, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, I enjoy it. But the thing is I'm not always happy with a lot of the stuff I'm seeing. But at the same time, you know, it's like they might not be putting as they might be able to put as much effort, or if they were able to invest more time into it, it might be. Better, but the thing is I'm trying to do something that looks professional and that is quality. So I'm really racking my brain over it because it's like, you know, it's not something that I've been doing for my whole life. I've done it some stuff here and there, but.
Well, I got a question. What's some of those things, like when you sit down and you look at artists' work, what's some of the things that are pet peeves to you? Is there one particular thing, or is it just because, you know, I'm looking for a particular style for this particular story in this particular age?
Oh, man, I got stories, man. No, listen, this is, it's not a superhero book, right?
So right, sure.
I've had, if you go to my website, you can see I got a prototypes link, and it's got just,
sure.
Over the years, I would go to the Comic Cons and whatnot, and I would just have artists do, hey, do a version of my character, you know, I just love your style. And then even when I was looking for the right artist to hook up with, I would give them descriptions and even visual references of, he's like this, he's thin, he's toned, but he's not muscular. Like, and I almost always get back some beefy wrestler, you know, muscular looking Hulk Hogan guy. And it's like, no, he's not that. He's hard part frog and part human, you know. So, you know, one of my two pet peeves was women, the way women are done in these comics are pretty often just, you know.
Oh, they're over the top. Incredibly.
Yeah.
They're what I will say, and you know, I'm a fan, but it's the Jim Ballant syndrome.
What's
where
that?
Small waist, gigantic boobs.
Well, and there's two issues I have with that. You know, I'm not saying that I don't enjoy, you know.
No.
I'm attracted to women and all that. I understand that. You know,
that's the only reason why I bought Catwoman. Anyways.
yeah, exactly. But the thing is like, I don't want, it's not something I want to promote. I don't
sure.
feel I feel it's a little degrading, or it's kind of degrading or disrespectful in a way. There's a place for the beauty of a woman and all that. The other reason I don't want to do it is because it's like, it's kind of cliche. It's just kind of like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of that out there. I don't want to do that for artistic merit. And so, it's not what I'm doing here. And I guess there's a time and a place, or I would say there's obviously a market for that. But that's one of the things that I'd get a submission from somebody. I'd get a lot of submissions from artists that would be interested to work on this book. And the minute it would look pretty good, because I got a lot of stuff that was not professional looking, I'll just say. And so I get something that would look good, and I'd be like praying, oh God, I'm going to go look at, you know, their portfolio or website. And I'm like, just don't have a bunch of, like, you know, just like crazy pinup, you know, just totally objectifying women and stuff. And it would be like almost every time. And I was like, no, I don't really want, you know, Not that I'm against having somebody who might do that to do work with them, but I just didn't want that to be my main artist. You know,
right, so. Understandable. I would like to clarify that indeed Jim Ballant's drawings of Chesty Catwoman got me to the book, but the writing actually was really good. I will say,
yes.
Jim Duffy and Chuck Dixon were awesome writers and made those characters really entertaining. I won't lie, the cover by Jim Ballant hooked me. I was like, yep, let's read this. Let's see what's...
No.
What's this all about?
I cannot deny that is not a truism. So I understand. But the thing is, that's not what I'm trying to do.
That's not what you're looking to do, right?
No, but so one of my pet peeves was I just don't want to do that typical kind of a comic book look like
right,
that.
Sure. Okay. So. Gotcha. Okay, well, one of the things I'm interested to hear a little more about, because I'll be honest, I didn't really read too much about it, but is there a soundtrack to this book I read somewhere?
Yes. Would you
like to talk about that?
Oh, sure, yeah.
All right, okay. I thought it was a little bit unique, and yet I was a little perplexed by it. So, go ahead.
Well, there are people doing music for their graphic novels or comic books.
Okay.
But like I said, I've been chewing on this so long that it's like really nasty to look at. No, I'm just kidding. No, I've been kicking this around for so long that I've been wanting to do music with this because I love composers. I love music for movies. I love, you know, like Thomas Newman or Clint Mansell or these different composers that, you know, do, you know, Hans Zimmerman or whatnot. But, so I wanted to have music with this graphic novel. And so I've been seeing people do that. And that was just something that I thought might help get this book out there to more people, make it appeal to more people. So I was looking for ways to get, I wish I could play, I tinker around with a piano and I've written a few melodies, but I'm not, you know, I don't know how to do, I'm just not a professional musician, or it's just like a very minor hobby. But I have a couple melodies or songs that I, with the right help, could actually turn into something. So I was kind of looking for, and I have some friends. So I have like a friend, Rodney Elliott, who is a drummer and is in the whole music industry. So he's going to be helping me and working with me. And he has a couple musicians that are going to actually compose and put some an original song together. And then I was looking at Kickstarter for different kinds of Kickstarters where they offer an incentive to write a song for you with one of their things. So I found this group, Elements of Cadence. And so I was liking what I was hearing from them. And, you know, for a certain contribution, they would write a song with you or for you. So I was like, this is perfect. So so we're going to be doing a song somewhere just after the first of the year. And my sister, Teresa Hutchinson, is a award-winning, you know, she's done plays and can sing and act and whatnot. So we're going to try to carve out some time to do some kind of a song together or have her sing something. So I'm going to have some music for it, yeah.
So the Elements of Cadence, so those guys, because you're based in Detroit, Michigan, correct?
Yes.
So are these guys in the Michigan area, or are they completely on the other side of the country?
They're in California, man.
So. They are in California, okay.
But we'll be doing Skype and whatnot.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, technology, man. This is this is the second time I've done a podcast with Skype. So technology, man, makes things a lot easier, a lot more available. Well, one thing you did mention was funding. So did you guys had a Kickstarter for this particular project for Staunch Ambition, yes or no?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do totally yet, but I haven't done a Kickstarter yet. I want to get I don't have a large following yet. I haven't actually really marketed it yet, and so that's one of the reasons I'm trying to collaborate with established artists or musicians and whatnot. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a preview issue and posters and start hitting the conventions.
Okay.
So I'm going to start trying to build an audience, and so I'm putting all this money in and time up front to try to just get people interested into it and whatnot. And then once I feel somewhat comfortable with an audience, you know, hitting podcasts, you know, and whatnot like yours. In fact, this is the first podcast I've done for this book. I've been on podcasts before for other reasons, but this is the first one for the book. So this is awesome. So, but the thing is once I get this, you know, somewhat of a following and hit some of these conventions and get a little closer to done with the first issue, I'm probably either going to do a Kickstarter or I'm going to look at different publishers and see what they offer.
Well, that was going to be my next question, was talking about the publishers and that, you know, obviously you haven't gotten to that step yet, but that would be an avenue that you would be, you know, comfortable saying, hey, whomever, you know, there's lots of different levels, you know, I guess you could say. I don't know, because, you know, you have DC and you have Marvel, but then you have some other very reputable, good publishers, but they're, you know, they're not the powerhouses of DC and Marvel. But anyways, I digress. But you were going to go ahead and try to pitch this to some publishers?
I guess. I'm looking at all options, right? So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I've been trying to do a lot of research, so we'll see. We'll see, like, you know, because there's pros and cons either way. I mean, if you go Kickstarter and try to self-publish, there's pros and cons. I mean, you completely own it and, you know, and whatnot.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But at the same time, have an Image or Dark Horse or, you know, IDW, you know, behind you, it could be a plus too. So I'm going to, that's another thing I hope to, kind of iron out as I start to hit some of these conventions, you know, so.
When's the first issue slated, or when do you hope to have it out, I should say?
Well, it's definitely going to be out in 2015. So,
okay.
We're on page 20. It's going to be a double-sized first issue. And so we're hoping to have, we're on like page 29 or so. Another thing I want to do with this is, even though I have Koi Pham and Freddie Williams, I'm looking to get somebody as big as like Bill Sienkiewicz to do the actual cover to the first issue. So at hitting these conventions, I'm hoping to, I'm shopping around to find like a big name artist to do, just a really nice, sweet cover for this book. And so, I still got to figure that out, but.
Well, you know what? Can I go back to a previous statement that you made? So you got Bill Sienkiewicz to kind of do a drawing of your own character. Was that at a convention? Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
Okay. You just went and said, hey. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, Motor City. Now, I did try to get him. Like, in fact, the first three pages of the book starts out with like a dream sequence. And so it's, I was going to have a different artist do that for two reasons, you know, just to kind of, you know, so Tyler can work on the rest of the book and then have a kind of a interesting, unique style. So I really tried to get him to do the cover or some pages and yeah, not successful at this point, but I'll get somebody who's, sweet and, who's, you know, got some kind of a established, you know, track record.
How is, I've never been able to make it to Motor City Con. How is the experience of going there, if I may ask, from one comic book enthusiast to another? How's the experience?
Motor City's a big convention.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure I'll be getting a table. I know I'm going to get a table there. Motor City has just been, Motor City started out back in, like in Dearborn at the Civic Center, and this is back when I first started to work in comics. I did a couple covers for like an independent comic called Hall of Heroes where Ethan Van Schieffer came from,
mm-hmm.
and then another guy, Trent Canuga, came from, who these guys went on to do, you know, to really be successful. But it started out really small. All these years, man, I mean, they had Stan Lee there, I think, 2 years ago, and it's just, it's an official, you know, legit, it's one of the bigger ones, so, it's impressive. In fact, my brother's one of them, like, one of the lead, guys in charge of setting things up, or, you know,
okay.
like he's picking up some of these celebrities from the airport, or coordinating that and stuff, so, but, Motor City's excellent, and I just, secured a table at the Fanfare Comic Convention, Detroit Fanfare, which is another nice convention too. So very respectable. And so I'm going to be doing that, Motor City, and I'm going to try to get into the Chicago Con, and then we'll see where else I go from there.
Gotcha. Cool. It sounds like you got a lot of work to do on this particular project.
Oh.
Will you be happy when it's over?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, unfortunately and fortunately, this story is like, it's not like a, it's like I got this epic idea of this great story. And so, and I have some sub endings. So I guess we'll see how far it goes. I mean,
okay.
if I can do the whole epic story, then
right,
it's not
going
to be over anytime soon.
Yeah.
But,
I got you.
I mean, marketing, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm just doing a book. I'm having to try to figure out how to market it and, promote and all these kinds of things, and it's like, you know, I didn't go to school for marketing, so
yeah.
I'm working on a new marketing technique, though. Actually, I think.
What is that?
Well, what I came up with this technique of hypnosis. So what I'm gonna do, yeah, is like I can hypnotize people into ordering it. So.
Hey, speaking of marketing, I mean, I think in. Full disclosure here, I'll explain to my listeners how I ended up getting kind of hooked up with you was...
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, and I'm,
yeah.
This might be exactly what you're saying, but I was going to be like, well, so what is the... What it drew you to this, or, I mean, so...
Well, I on December 8th, I received a tweet about the book. And it was, hey, I believe it was, hold on, I wrote it down, at Staunch Ambition, I believe.
Okay.
And it was like, check out this book if you get a chance. There was a link to it, and I was like, well, that's odd. I mean, it's ingenious that, you know, somehow, you know, whoever was behind it, I don't know. Are you
that was
behind
me.
The, that was you, okay. Behind that there, I assumed. But yeah, just like, well, okay, that's unique, man. And then I checked it out, and I was like, this sounds interesting. And then I was like, well, heck, man, I'll just shoot a quick email and see what we can do. Because, you know, as I mentioned before, I've been thinking about using this particular piece of technology, Skype, to kind of, you know, go out and see if I could interview some other folks or have folks come on and
oh, yeah.
make things a little more interesting and whatnot. Because, you know, I think much like the boat that you're in, you know, it's hard to promote and get your name out there.
Yeah, I know. You got to deal with the same thing doing.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because, you know, you got a full-time job and you got family. And, you know, I'm not independently wealthy, so I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend on, you know, promotion and whatnot. So,
right.
And unfortunately, too, you know, there's been, with the holidays, there's been a lot of people that said, yes, I'll come on, and then you never connect. And
really?
As I said beforehand, before
I could
start
relate.
Recording, some lost emails as well that I just found today, but I digress.
Yeah. You're throwing this stuff in spam mail. Nice.
So, but yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's that's how I ended up finding out about this project. So,
but what tipped the scale where you're like, okay, this is more than just another tweet?
Oh, what tipped it was that I checked out the link and I said, this is kind of a unique, a little bit out there story. Because I read the synopsis there and I was like, so there's the Staunch Industries. They got this weird. Staunch Industries. I can't say it, man. I can't say it. Staunch Industries. Anyways, with the weirdness of what they were doing, and then mixed in there when I read about that there's maybe a hidden agenda, it just kind of intrigued me. And
cool,
I thought,
man.
Well, you know, let's do it, man. Let's shoot out an email. Either I'm going to hear yes, no, or not hear back from you. So that is how I came to find out about. No, my question is, how did you determine, or who do you determine to tweet that particular thing out to, if I may ask? Is that an ancient Chinese secret, as they say?
I am trying. You know, I don't know Twitter as good. And funny, you're on Twitter, but you're not on Facebook, and I've been more focused on Facebook, but then I've been kind of tweaking around with Twitter, which I'm not sure is right to say, but I don't know if you can tweet Twitter, but
I'm
tweaking it, and what I didn't realize was I was like, oh, there's this angle where I can, like, I can try to get, you know, I can tweet out this, you know, what I'm doing here. I just need to get it in front of people. And I kind of sent, I think that what you were a victim of is I was trying to sense it out in a way. But then I looked at where I had my tweets and I just had, you know how you have all the videos or photos that you've ever tweeted. I had, like, the way I did it, I had, like, the same picture, like, 300 times, and I'm like, holy crap, that's not good. So I guess I'm not going to do that again. But so I don't know. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Was this by random? Just by random luck?
No, I was pushing.
Oh,
well,
okay.
No, I was pushing it out there, I'm trying to figure out how to use social media. So, I don't know. You know, this whole marketing thing is new to me. So I was never. I don't know about you, but you ever have a job, salesperson? I never liked or wanted to work as a salesperson, but obviously doing this book or doing your podcast, we have to sell it. And so, but the difference is I believe in it. So,
yeah, right.
You know, it's not like something that you're selling just to make money. It's like, I believe in the story. This story will not leave me alone. This story, it's like you and I love great stories, or we love good, you know, good comics or whatever that may be. And this story is like, I want to read this story because I don't even know exactly how it's all going to happen. I just have the idea, and quite a bit of it's organic, and it won't let me go. It's so intriguing. So I'm like, okay, I got to do it. But now I believe in it. So I'm just trying to figure out, okay, well, then how do I get it out there? And so Twitter and all that has just been, I don't think I'm doing it as good as I need to, but I'm trying. It worked with you, so.
Yeah, it worked one time so far.
Yeah, and your dog is loving it, so we're
right.
Really on the right track.
Exactly, so.
Man, it's good stuff.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the social media. Where can folks check things out if they're interested in checking out Staunch Ambition?
They can go to Facebook and Twitter as my main two outlets, or the website is simply staunchambition.com. It's like you could to follow along if you want to keep along, you know, keep in touch with what's going on with our story, or you know, who's going to be the actual cover artist that I finally land. You would probably want to at least like the page at Facebook or follow us on Twitter, because that's where you're going to get your direct news from. So
okay.
That would be Staunch Ambition. Just simply look it up. Go to the webpage, Staunch Ambition, and you can find links there to Twitter or Facebook.
Okay, and I'm going to do this just because, you know, I am an English teacher. Staunch Ambition would be spelled Staunch Ambition.
Yes.
And so just to throw it out there, because I don't want people
staunch,
spelling it.
I don't know, that's kind of a common word, but I guess
please, trust me, my friend. You would think that people could spell things, but no. That's...
Oh, well, you're telling me, man. I'm an artist. I am one of the... Why am I writing, doing so much writing, I should say? I can't. Grammar and spelling, I'd be so bad at. So I'd be bad. So it's like, I don't know. But, I'm not the greatest speller or a grammarist. So, but,
grammarist? I don't think that's a word. Grammar Nazi, maybe? Or is that offensive to...
I don't know. I'd talk to my editor about that. I'll have to find out if that's okay to use.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can edit this, right?
Well, like, yeah, but hey.
You can edit out all the stupid things I said.
Hey, whatever, man. I'm not a Nazi about editing things. See, there you go. I did it again. Anyways.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure that my listeners know that there's always going to be some off-color comment somehow, somewhere in this podcast. So I don't think that that's really a main concern of mine. So.
Yeah. I'm enjoying your, you got quite the, I'm enjoying your ability to podcast. I'm
nice.
A podcast junkie. And
thank you.
I listen to hours and hours of podcasts. There's a lot of great ones out there.
Oh, there is. It certainly is.
Yeah, and I mean, this one, although I never got into wrestling, I mean, it's your personality and your approach that it draws you in.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And you're a comic book geek, so there you go.
It's like, and like I said, it's the, some people ask, you know, well, what's your podcast about? I go, whatever I like, man, because it's mine.
Yeah, so. I just got them listening to your political one, you know.
Yeah, you know, so you know, just whatever I think is interesting or cool, I'm gonna talk about it. And if people like it, I liken it to this. I oftentimes for folks that have criticized, have said, well, okay, it's no different than the Tonight Show. All right, some people will tune in and go, well, who is Jimmy Fallon going to have on? Oh, okay, I'll watch this first part, and that's it. And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, you want to listen to my opening, and you want to see what it's about, and then not listen, fine, okay. Or if you're like, I'm going to go ahead and listen through, and great, awesome, you know. Again, it's just it's an outlet to get things off my chest sometimes. It's an outlet for my creativity, and there it is. So, but
I tell you what, if I'm not creating, or if I'm not talking about something creative, I'm gonna explode. And so,
I'm with you.
Yeah, in fact, I was listening to you, and I'm like, you say some things, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta watch it. I don't say that because I say that a lot. You're like, what was it? You say a lot. You say this often, and I was like, oh man. Nonetheless. I say nonetheless. I don't know how you say it, but you say it similar or something like that.
I probably overuse it a lot too sometimes. I mean,
but I love that. I always say that.
Yeah.
Or no, it's like all that being said. That's what I'll say.
Oh, yeah.
Cuz I love to talk and I'm like blah 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 blah. All that being said, I'll say, but you say it a little differently.
Yeah, there's that, and I digress is another one that I use quite a bit, which I'm sure Peter David would sue me for because of, you know. But anyways,
yeah.
With that, here, we're getting real close to the end. So, Brian, one more time, staunchambition.com is where people can go to check out all the information, all the news, everything about your particular project. Right. And, you know, I'm going to wrap things up here real quickly, and then I'm going to throw it to a break. And for my listeners at home, when I come out of the break there, I'm going to wrap things up by talking about a couple of little things. But, Brian, I appreciate you coming on, man. It's been fun, man. It's been almost 50 minutes, and it doesn't seem like that. So that's a great podcast, man. So,
I love it, man. I anytime you want to talk about some stuff, I love doing podcasts. So I'll tell you what, we'll keep in touch. And I enjoyed it.
You got it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, check it out. Really, seriously, you know, you've heard me talk a lot about independent stuff, whether it's movies or independent radio or it's independent music or whatever. In this case, independent comics. You know, seriously, give it a chance. Check it out. Go to staunchambition.com. Brian, once again, man, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, take care, man. Peace.
As an avid listener of the PBD cast, you know that I, John Orlando, am a huge comic book fan. And I'm here to tell you about a graphic novel that's coming out in 2015 that I know you're going to want to get your hands on. It's called Staunch Ambition, and it's a futuristic science fiction fantasy adventure that I know you're going to want to read. So just head over to staunchambition.com. That's right, staunchambition.com to read up about all the information about that graphic novel. Because I guarantee that when it comes out, you'll want to grab a copy, and it'll be unlike anything you've ever read before. Trust me, check out staunchambition.com. You will not regret it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, John Orlando back here on the PVD cast. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation I had with Mr. Brian Lau. And I hope you enjoyed the new, I don't know, commercial, as I use air quotes that no one can see because this is a podcast. But, you know, I don't know what to call those things. You know, they're ads, commercials, advertisements, plugs, whatever. But, you know, I know that I've had the same two all year long, same two or three, I should say. And so I told Brian that I would be happy to kind of whip one up and throw it on here so that I could help spread the word of Staunch Ambition. You know, I think it's an interesting graphic novel. I think if you particularly like comic books, if you particularly like science fiction or fantasy, definitely I would check out the book when it comes out here in 2015. I'll try to give you an update when it's going to hit, you know, if you're not frequently checking out the webpage there, and let you know where you can get it and all that jazz. I'm sure that Brian won't mind. Like I said, he's a good dude. There's a few folks in this world, as I've been doing this podcast, where as soon as you meet somebody, you're like, yeah, this is a dude that's cool, he's easygoing, he's laid back, he knows what he's talking about, you know. And Brian's one of them, so definitely check it out, ladies and gentlemen, if you get the chance. Once again, because I know I haven't said it enough on this podcast, staunchambition.com. It's got all the information, including social media and whatnot, right there at that website. So, with that, let us talk about Orlando's phase, which I'm going to start something right here on this very episode that I hope to carry on year after year after year. So with that, let's cue the music. Yeah, I know, a little different there. A little Bing Crosby with Malikalikimaka. I don't know why. That song, I got to be honest, just this year I've discovered it. I know it's been out there for years, but I don't know, man. It's funky. I like it. So, since it is around Christmas time, I thought I'd go with that. So, let's jump right into what my fave is for this episode, number 58, the last one of 2014. And since it is the last episode for 2014, my fave is all the people that helped to make this podcast a reality. And I really, truly mean that. There is a long list, and I wrote a lot of people down on this piece of paper that's in front of this microphone. There are so many people to thank, and by that I mean not only the listeners, but all of my guests that appeared throughout this particular calendar year of 2014. Because if it wasn't for some of these folks, if it wasn't for any of these folks, actually, this wouldn't exist. And so it takes the listeners, it takes me, it takes people taking time out of their very busy schedules to sit down, whether it's in my house, whether it was at a public place like the library or a coffee shop, or whether it is using technology to do long distance podcasts. I appreciate all the folks that come on. I appreciate those few folks that are behind the scenes, so to speak, such as my web hosting service. All right, including those folks at Stitcher who are helping to push this out. And I know you're saying, John, both of those are giant companies. But you know what? You know what? I'm still going to say thank you to them. Because, again, they're an integral part of this particular podcast. So, look, I'm not going to go through the list, but I have every intention of tweeting out a list of people to say thank you. So over the next few days, you can expect to see that. I'm going to tweet them out and thank those folks for coming on. Because, again, you know, if it wasn't for them, you know, I wouldn't be doing this. It would just be me sitting here rambling on and on, in which, quite frankly, I know that I think I'm entertaining, but I know in reality I'm sometimes not very entertaining. So it takes guests to make this whole thing keep rolling. So that's my fave for this edition of the PVD cast. Everyone who has appeared, who has helped out, no matter where it is, and all the people that have listened, thank you very much. You're my fave for this episode. And hopefully I'll do this a calendar year from now. You know, December 2015, I'll be saying the same thing. And then, you know, just keep on listening, folks. You know, as of the recording of this podcast, December 21st, 715 visitors to the PVDcast.com, which is the best ever. I know I said that a few months ago. So obviously it's getting bigger, it's getting better, more people are listening, and I thank those folks again one more time. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but keep it up. Spread the word, folks. Spread the word. I know 1,700 people would be awesome, and that's what I almost said, but no, 715 visitors to PVDcast.com. I appreciate it, and I'm humbled by that. I never would have thought 700 people would really want to hear what I have to say. So, hey, with that, let's talk about where you can get in touch with me. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at pvdmvp. As I mentioned in the last episode, I'm now on Instagram. That's also at the call name, if you will, or username of PVDMVP. Hey, thanks again, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And with that, I hope you have a very happy and safe holiday. I will see you in 2015. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.